are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
This is Beth, health and wellness expert, and I'm actually going solo today. Dr. Scott Clitheroe is on vacation skiing in Colorado with his family, so a big shout out to him. I hope he's having fun. So today's podcast episode is all about hormones, how it affects your health, and what you can do to make sure you're taking care of your hormones, including testosterone for both men and women. Because this is such an important topic. I mean, hormones need to be discussed, and I can't wait to get started. But before I do get started, I have some wonderful listener questions. You guys always challenge me with your questions, and I will continue to answer them as I get them. And remember, if you have a question, you can email a Healthier View podcast at uptomeradio.com, and Dr. Clitheroe and I will answer them. So let's dive into this week's questions, and then we will talk about hormones. So the first question is from Debbie from Chicago. She wrote in, I am a runner, just turned triathlete, and probably have some of the healthiest eating habits of anyone I know. I limit sugar, empty calories, and processed foods to special occasions only, like birthdays and anniversaries. My plate is always full of vegetables. I'm taking recommended supplements, drink lots of water, limit alcohol to only one glass of wine or so on weekends, and cook my own healthy, natural foods. Here's my advice. I love Diet Coke. On work days, I typically have two. On weekends, about one or so. I rarely or never indulge in more than that. Looking at the ingredients, I find carbonated water, caramel color, aspartame, phosphoric acid, potassium benzoate, natural flavors, citric acid, and caffeine in that order. I have no idea as to what most of these are. Am I truly doing myself a disservice by drinking Diet Coke? And if so, how? I have not read any medical research that has convinced me to give it up. Okay, Debbie, this is a great question and something very near and dear to my heart because I actually used to drink a lot of Diet Pop. Diet Sprite was my thing. But the main thing you should worry about with a Diet Coke is not necessarily the carbonated water, but some of the acids that are risky in terms of putting your body in the net acidic state, which has lots of health and immune system complications. But the main thing you want to consider is the aspartame or the other artificial sweeteners that's in a Diet Pop. So let's take this back even further. The FDA approved aspartame back in the 80s for use as a kind of food preservative, a sweetener, and they declared it to be one of the most thoroughly tested and studied food additives that the agency has ever approved. In fact, they claim that there were over 100 toxic and clinical studies that confirmed aspartame to be safe for the general population. But since then, there's been studies that suggested that may not be the case. There's actually one study done in psychiatry where they had, I think it was about 40 patients that were given 30 mg per day per kilogram of body weight of aspartame versus a placebo. And what they found was that the aspartame significantly affected mood disorders. Which is interesting because one of the most notorious moody guys in the PGA is John Daly. He says he drinks 12 Diet Cokes a day, and it said that he is all over the map in terms of mood. So the suggestion for this is that aspartame can inhibit something called serotonin in your brain, which can decrease the availability of a mood stabilizer hormone in your brain called tryptophan. Now, there was another study done by the University of Texas that suggested that diet soda consumption could actually increase your risk of obesity. They used 600 patients ages from 25 to 64 years old, and the study confirmed that the participants were 65% more likely to be overweight if they consumed one diet soda a day compared to if they drank none. And two or more of these diet sodas raise the odds of becoming obese or overweight. Now, there's no evidence that suggests all the diet pops were actually Diet Cokes, but there's definitely, and I'm sure most of the listeners have come to realize that there's a little bit of an appetite stimulating effect when you consume diet foods. You just want to eat more. So in addition to the aspartame or NutraSweet that you get in a diet soda, there's been some studies that have been done on sucralose, and specifically animal studies have found that sucralose can shrink your thymus glands, which can severely affect your metabolism, enlarge your liver and your kidneys, atrophy some of your lymph follicles, which in return can affect your immune system. It can also reduce your growth rate, decrease your red blood cell count, and cause gastrointestinal problems like bloating and diarrhea and stomach cramps. And really the last thing I want to say, there was another study done on artificial sweeteners where they gave rats one type of artificial sweetener called saccharin, and the other rats were given sugar. The rats that were given the artificial sweetener actually ate more in the meal after they had consumed the artificial sweetener than the rats that consumed the sugar. So they're suggesting there may be a little bit of an appetite stimulating effect there. So the main thing I would be concerned about with drinking Diet Cokes or Diet Pop or those diet foods would be the mood stabilization, immune suppressant, and appetite cravings. So again, I would stay away from it. I haven't had a Diet Pop consistently for probably 3 years because I know it is really, really bad for you. So that's a great question. Keep them coming. And our last question is from Joe from Atlanta. He says, I'm recovering from an ankle sprain. The problem is that I didn't want to stop training for too long. I only rested for one day and then began doing some low intensity cycling and walking right after the injury. I also didn't wear any protection on my ankle for longer than the first day. The consequence is that even though my ankle is now almost fully functional, I still feel pain when doing certain movements. Is there any way in which I could make it heal completely? Okay, Joe, this is what a lot of athletes have trouble with, and that's resting. But basically, Joe, when your body is healing, it lays down scar tissue. And this scar tissue is laid down in not so super nice little neat formations, but in certain structured pattern. If you're trying to exercise or move a joint, well, it's going through that process of forming scar tissue. Even for a slight sprain, that's going to be typically about 1 to 2, 3 week process. Then that scar tissue is not laid down properly and can become immobile and inflexible and even produce pain. You can also get areas of high proxy where the proper amount of capillaries aren't feeding the tissue and oxygen, and even the sugar can't do what they're supposed to do. So that's why it's important to really make sure you don't aggravate that area of your body as it's healing and try to train through an area. So that being said, there are some options for you to go back and try to mobilize that scar tissue. So soft tissue mobilization is something that a lot of massage therapists can do. There's something called cross friction massage as well as trigger point massage. Another thing is myofascial release, and it's a technique used by physical therapists, which is a combination of massage and silicone gel. Ultrasound therapy can help out a little bit. Most of the time, it's going to be a massage therapist or a physical therapist who would be able to do this kind of work for you. I also have to say cold therapy with ice could help a little bit. Infrared light can also help a little bit. So there are a lot of things that you can do to throw a tissue, that soft tissue, to help and to heal and really get to the issue. But ultimately what it comes down to is that you want to remobilize that scar tissue, try and break it up a little bit. And while you're doing that, don't be doing workouts that put a lot of stress on that joint. Try to stay on non-weight bearing exercises on that ankle. You can strength train, you can swim, you can do water running. So really take the time and let your body heal. Again, another great question. Again, keep these questions coming. I love answering them. Dr. Clithero and I will answer all of them. So we're going to go to commercial break and we will be right back to talk all things hormones.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org, but you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Okay, we're back from commercial break. Thank you for sticking with us. I was just thinking to myself, this is a little awkward doing this show without Dr. Clithero. But like I said, he's on vacation and we all want to do a big howdy to Scott and his family. Hope he's doing well skiing and he's safe and having fun. But today I really want to talk about hormones. I want to talk about the importance of hormones. I think everybody needs to test yearly to see what the hormone levels are. And when I mean hormones, I'm talking estrogen, testosterone, adrenaline, insulin, progesterone. These are really extremely important chemical messengers that affect many aspects of our overall health. I mean, again, I can't reiterate how important this is to know your levels, because you can do things about them before they get out of hand. But hormones are secreted by various glands and organs, including your thyroid, adrenals, pituitary, sex organs, and the pancreas. The entire endocrine system works together to control the level of hormones circulating through our bodies. And if one or more is even slightly imbalanced, it can cause widespread major health concerns. So again, get on top of this before it becomes a problem. But what a lot of people do is they turn to conventional treatments for hormonal imbalances. And I'm not saying those are bad, but usually these include synthetic hormone replacement therapies, birth control pills, insulin injections, thyroid medications, and a lot more. And sometimes, again, we need those. I'm not saying we don't, but unfortunately for the majority of people suffering from hormonal disorders, relying on these types of synthetic treatments often does a few things. I mean, it makes people dependent on taking prescription drugs for the rest of their lives in order to keep symptoms under control. And simply, you know, it masks the person's symptoms but doesn't solve them, which means that the person can continue to develop abnormalities in other areas of the body while the disorder progresses. So I really encourage people to get to the root of the problem. And it also can cause higher risk for serious side effects like stroke, osteoporosis, anxiety, reproductive problems, cancer, and so much more. But the good news is I actually love promoting healthy living, and I love performing things like exercise and eating healthy to balance your hormones naturally. And we're going to talk about that in a few, but again, I do have to say, talk to your doctor, get your hormones tested. If you need to go on a synthetic hormone, by all means, listen to your doctor. But the important thing to think about is, again, the root causes of your hormonal problems. So you'll know how to treat the problem without experience, perhaps the negative side effects associated with synthetic treatments. And hormonal imbalances can really be caused by a combination of a lot of factors, like your diet, medical history, genetics, stress levels, lack of sleep, exposure to toxins from your environment. I mean, there's just so many things, and it could be a combination of these things too. So really look at your life and see maybe what you can do to make these, your hormones balance out naturally. So I do want to talk about a few ways that I recommend people to balance out hormones naturally. And the first thing that people need to do is to swap out carbs for healthy fats. And this is important because eating a variety of foods in short, medium, and long chain fatty acids is key to keeping your hormones in check. Your body needs various types of fats to create hormones, including saturated fat and cholesterol. Now, I know a lot of people don't like to eat the egg yolk because of the cholesterol, but unless your doctor says not to, that cholesterol in an egg is actually really good for you. I mean, there are not only these essential fats, you know, not only are they fundamental building blocks for hormone production, but they keep inflammation levels low. They boost your metabolism. They promote weight loss. I mean, healthy fats have the opposite effect of refined carbohydrates, which are like potato chips, anything that's really processed. Think about that. But these refined carbohydrates can lead to inflammation. It can really mess with the balance of your hormones. My four favorite sources of anti-inflammatory healthy fats are coconut oil, avocados, which I never really liked up until a couple of years ago. Now I love avocados, grass-fed butter, and wild-caught salmon. Again, you want to make sure that it's wild-caught and not farm-raised. But more importantly, steer clear from oils that are high in omega-6 fats. And these are sunflower, corn, canola, those peanut oils. And these load up on rich sources of like really, really, really bad stuff that we don't need. But what you do need are the rich sources of natural omega-3s. Like I said, wild fish, coconut, flaxseed, chia seeds, walnuts, grass-fed animal products. So those are the really healthy fats that you want to incorporate, you know, 3 to 4 times a day in your daily nutritional intake. I also want to mention there's a type of omega-6 fat that you do want to get from your diet, and it is good. It's called GLA. And GLA stands for gamma linolenic acid. And this can be taken in a supplement form by using primrose oil or borage oil. And it's also found in hemp seeds. And studies show supplementing with this GLA can support a healthy progesterone levels. So really look into that, do your research, know where all your levels are. But the next thing I would recommend is to address emotional imbalances. I mean, all of us go through stress at some points in our life. It's a natural thing, but emotions like anger, worry, anxiety, these really cause issues with your insulin levels, which can affect several hormones if you don't get that in check. The major component of balancing your hormones naturally, again, is dealing with these emotional imbalances that you might be dealing with. And you can do this by reducing stress levels, engaging in personal reflection, or taking time for yourself. I mean, I like to practice meditation. Sometimes I'll just take time to do some healing prayer because those are really beneficial for me. But some other things you can do are deep breathing, exercising, taking 2 or 3 breaths, like in through your nose, count to 4 or 5 seconds, hold your breath, and then out through your mouth for 8 to 10 seconds. And then spending time outdoors and exercising every day, those are really good things that you can do to help reduce stress in your life. There are also traditional Chinese medicine therapies like acupuncture and even massage can help improve hormonal balance, combat stress, and improve blood flow. But again, this is really, really important because our emotions and our hormones are connected. So working out to balancing one, you are impacting the other. I mean, if you're ever feeling stressed, angry, agitated, or even scared, you know, understand that this is affecting your hormone balance and can lead to even bigger health issues. So again, keep working on your emotional balance. Try to make it a part of your daily routine. And if you find yourself getting stressed out, try these techniques or even talking to a friend. So again, try to get your stress levels in check, keep stress at bay, and I think you're going to just naturally feel better and balance out your hormones. So my next recommendation is to supplement with vitamin D. So vitamin D is kind of a funny thing because it acts like a hormone inside our body and has really important implications for keeping inflammation levels low. That's why people who live in dark areas often suffer from seasonal depression and have other health problems unless they supplement with vitamin D. And sunshine really is the best way to optimize vitamin D levels because our bare skin makes vitamin D on its own when exposed to even small amounts of direct sunlight. Most people should supplement with 2,000 to 5,000 IUs on a daily basis. Again, this is vitamin D3. A lot of people during the winter, they might feel a little down, so they take a little bit more. And then in the summertime, they might not. But again, I actually recommend people getting their vitamin D levels checked 1 to 2 times a year. And I like to see those levels between 60 and 80. The caveat that I have to say is you want to make sure you don't get too high. Because if you do have too much vitamin D in your body, it can affect your heart. And the other caveat that I have to say is that in order for vitamin D to work in our body, you need to combine it with vitamin K and magnesium. If you don't do this, vitamin D won't work efficiently. And again, could cause some issues with your calcium levels, affecting your bones and even your heart. So do your research, do the testing, and please understand the importance of vitamin D. So my next tip, which I love to sleep. I actually love that time kind of getting ready for bed and making it like an event. But I really encourage people to get quality sleep. And unless you're getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep every night, you're doing your body no favors. And that's because a lack of sleep or disrupting your natural circadian rhythm can be one of the worst habits contributing to hormone imbalance. Sleep helps keep stress hormones balanced. Sleep helps build energy, and it allows the body to recover properly. And, you know, I think it's because excessive stress and poor sleep are kind of linked together, and maybe even higher levels of morning cortisol. Lack of sleep can decrease immunity. It can, and we all know that when you don't get a good night's sleep, maybe you don't work that well the next day. You might be a little cranky. We're going to be susceptible to having anxiety, weight gain, depression, all this stuff. So get your sleep and get this. Your hormones actually work on a schedule. Just like I was saying, you need to be on a sleep schedule. Your hormones work on a schedule as well. So case in point, cortisol, which is primarily the stress hormone, is regulated at midnight. So people who go to bed late never truly get a break from their sympathetic flight, fight, stress response. So to maximize hormone function, ideally, I encourage people to try to go to bed by 10 and stick with a regular sleep-wake cycle as much as possible. So get your sleep. And then finally, something that's near and dear and my favorite topic to talk about is exercise. I mean, exercise is so important. It makes you feel good. It makes you, it helps you set goals. It just kind of starts my day. So I really encourage people to get at least a minimum of 20 minutes of exercise or movement a day. And ideally, you'd actually, 150 minutes a week at the minimum, up to 6 hours a week in exercise is what I recommend. But you don't need to kill yourself. Going out for a walk is fine. But exercise is so important from fortifying your immune system. Regular exercise helps protect our body, bottom line. And although researchers aren't entirely sure how exercise boosts immunity, theories range from bacteria being flushed out of the body from stress and getting those toxins out of your body, and also a reduction in stress-released hormones. Again, we're talking about hormones today that might increase the risk of illness. So until we wait for science to catch up, it's clear that engaging in moderate to intense exercise benefits your body in ways that we're not even sure of. So again, walking is fine. But if you want to boost this testosterone, I'd like to see people doing some strength training. And that is, doing some deep, intense strength training, lifting weights. And ladies, don't worry, you're not going to bulk up. You're not going to be, you might get a little bit more muscle tone, and that's a good thing. And you might bulk up if you're an athlete back in the later day, or if your genetics, if you do have more muscle tone than the average female, you might bulk up a little bit, but the benefits really outweigh the cons. So I really encourage people to do some strength training because that will help your testosterone levels go up. And again, that's something that I encourage people to get checked out because we want to make sure our testosterone levels, even ladies, are at a good level. So I know that this show is a little bit shorter than past episodes, but I didn't have that bantering going back and forth with Dr. Clitheroe. So we will be back next week and we have a special surprise. It's all about stress. It's all about depression. And I hope you join us. So everyone have a healthy week and we'll see you next week.